Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. We are in the Studio B, and we're kind of cramped in here. My guests today are Josh Twist and Nick Harris. Josh is a program manager on the Azure team,
working on
the Azure mobile services.
All mobile services is fine, too. You know, I don't have a... the Brits don't run the place, unfortunately. so mobile works.
Well, we did have a discussion prior to coming on about whether it's mobile or mobile, and we decided that it should be pronounced mobile.
Great. So I'm glad you, concurred.
We'll call it mobile.
And if you didn't agree with us, we have the tape here ready to silence Robert.
So. And our other guest is the famous Nick Harris, famous from the Cloud Services show, and friend of the show, previous guest on the show.
That's true.
Nick asked to come on the show to show off the mobile services, and then he brought Josh to do all the demos, so apparently Nick is color commentary or something.
I'm just here. I'll sort of slide off screen probably halfway through.
Continuing the British theme, Nick is my Debbie McGee.
Yeah.
So you can look that up on Wikipedia.
Excellent. Bing that. You can Bing that.
But you could Bing that, yeah.
So, we're here to talk about the Azure mobile services, the Windows Azure mobile services,
which
were just recently introduced, and so they're brand new, so... What are they?
Yeah, so we launched mobile services just a few days back, and we were really keen to get on your show, actually, because mobile services is unusual for something we have in Azure, because really our key focus is client developers. So we kicked off a project codenamed Zumo some months back now, and we really had a goal of making Windows Azure even more compelling to mobile developers. And we went out and we tried to get into the mindset of mobile developers, spent a lot of time at hackathons and coding through the night in iOS and Android and Windows Phone and Windows 8. And we found as we got into that space that a lot of the people out there really want back-end features like authentication and push notifications and structured storage, but they're very, very focused on building a client app. There's many people out there who don't have the time or the skills or maybe just the inclination to go and build out a back-end service. And so we said, is there something we can do that can make Windows Azure, you know, so easy to use that literally any developer in the world is going to be compelled to give it a go, give it a shot, and add those back-end services they need?
So the mobile doesn't apply to devices?
It does apply to devices, yep.
So if I'm building a Windows Forms app, wouldn't I want all those things?
Well,
do I get those?
We're going to support lots and lots of platforms. The first platforms we're going to target are going to be Windows 8. Uh-huh. Now, actually, at this very moment in time, we only support Windows 8 officially. But the discussion about what is a mobile app kind of blurs, really. We're talking about modern apps. So we'll also, very soon, we'll target iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. So we're very much in the space of devices. But the line between device and sort of fixed computing device, like a laptop, is kind of blurring. You know, certainly with the release of Windows 8, we found. So we could have called it connected client services, but mobile services seem to hit the nail on the head for the type of apps we're really targeting.
Okay,
but when you say at the moment we support only Windows 8 clients, that's because you're saying that essentially because we have a client SDK for Windows 8.
That's right.
But if there are developers out that perhaps want to like get a jump start and they really like the back end features, are they able to program directly against the REST API?
Totally. So mobile services has a REST, an easy to use JSON based REST API, and we already have sprung up actually a couple of unofficial client SDKs, one from your colleague Chris Risner, so we should get a link in the comments to this video, and we have a Windows Phone unofficial client from my colleague Ken Agosi, and they're starting to spring up because it's really, really easy to write the REST API. And we'll, as we broaden support, we'll also add support to make push notifications for those platforms really easy as well.
I
think the best way to show you what mobile service is to show you a quick demo.
I think so too.
Because our goal is to do it in minutes, right?
Minutes.
Anyone can add this stuff in minutes.
That's right.
Okay, so this is the Windows Azure portal. You can a free trial, so let me show you where you go for that first, actually. So let's go to aka.ms/mobile services, and that'll take you to the Mobile Developer Center, and you can sign up for a free trial in here. Just follow these instructions and click free trial, and you'll get access to 10 free mobile services. You'll sign into the Windows Azure portal, which looks like this, and it has this new section on the left, mobile services. Let's create a new mobile service. So I click New.
So does that only show up if you have an account?
Yeah, so you need an account in Azure.
Because when I go to the portal, I don't see mobile services.
Now, if you have an old
account...
mobile services. If you have an account, you can go to the Preview Features section and request access. So let me show you where that is. So I go Home, Visit Features...
I go Account.
Let's see.
And then I go to the Account link down the bottom. Account center.
Oh, I'm going to have to sign in.
Okay. Preview
yeah, so account and then preview features up here, and you can request access
to
mobile services. So there it is. Now you notice that I'm already active. If you sign up for a free trial today, though, we'll just add you automatically to the service, so you won't need to find this feature. So anyone with an existing account needs to come and request access. Anyone signing up for a new free trial will get access automatically. So that's why you can't see mobile services today. So let's finish creating that. I'll just start again. So new mobile service. Create. Let's enter a name for it. So I'm going to call it VS Toolbox. And this is going to create the URL for our new mobile service so we can talk to it. And it's asking for a database. So mobile services wants to connect to a SQL database. We can connect to a new one, and it'll guide you through the process of creating a new database right here, or to an existing database. I'm going to use existing because I've got one hanging around. Enter the credentials for that database.
Nice password, Josh.
Thank you.
Never knew you'd feel that way about me.
And he could tell that just by the sound of each key. He can recognize a password just from the sound of the typing. That's just going to take a few seconds to create. And what I want to impress on you here actually is, you know, traditionally deploying to the cloud can be a very long process. It can take, you know, 20 minutes, something like that. In mobile services, we'll have a new service stood up in Azure with our runtime deployed, with the database configured, and a URL endpoint that we can point to our clients at within a few seconds. So there we go. That's just finished now. So let's step into that service. And the first thing we're greeted by is our quick start. And the goal of the quick start is to really live up to that promise of getting people working with this stuff in minutes. And we have two options. Are we going to create a new Windows 8 application or connect to an existing?
Okay.
We're going to create a new one. So step one, there's just three steps to finish this quick start. The goal of the quick start is to have you build a simple to-do app. So, you know, to-do is the new hello world. We're gonna keep living that dream. And in step one, we're going to download the tools. I already have Visual Studio, of course. I've already installed the mobile services SDK, so we're on to step two already. And that is to create a table. So I mentioned we connected to SQL, and we want to store our to-do items somewhere, so we need to put that information into a SQL table. To make it really easy, we're going to create the table right here. But you could actually create the table just on our data tab. You can go and create as many tables as you like by clicking Create New. I'm going to switch back to the quick start over here. So to keep people in the quick start, make it really, really easy, I can create my to-do item table just by clicking on this button. That's going to create a new table in SQL, already done and deployed. And then step three is to download and run your personalized pre-configured Visual Studio application. So what language would you like to use today, Robert? Do you want to be fresh and trendy and use JavaScript?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, let's do a JavaScript
client. Fresh and trendy are not always words associated with me, so yeah, let's use that.
That's going to download.
Rude, maybe, but not fresh. I don't know about trendy.
That's going to download an app as a zip file, so I need to extract it to disk somewhere. And I can open that right up in Visual Studio. And what I want to point you to actually is that this isn't just an empty vanilla project. It has been customized for my new mobile service. So here's the app. And if we look inside the default.js file, that's kind of the startup file for one of these Windows 8 WinJS apps. And if we look at the code, we'll see down here that my URL is embedded in the app, and as is my app key. So this thing's good to go, so why don't we run it? And this is going to fire up my to-do app, and it'll allow me to insert to-do items. And when I insert a to-do item, it's going to insert it to the mobile service, save that into SQL, and then when that's finished, it's going to send an acknowledgement to the client. When they get that acknowledgement, it's going to appear over here, and there's a lot of stuff about to happen now. So say hi to Robert. Is my first to-do item, so I'm going to save that. Now see how quickly that came back. Mm. That's running against the service that's live in Azure, in the cloud, running in our East US data center. And it actually did some other stuff as well. So we created a table, but notice that we didn't create any schema for that table. We didn't create any columns.
Right.
And we realized that in order to make mobile services fun, that's one of our key goals, is we want to really remove all the friction and impedance for developers in building apps.
Sorry to interrupt, you could go check out the schema.
Let's do that right now. Yeah, so it's just in a table. It's an ordinary table, but we can also browse the data right here in the portal.
Right.
So here you can see our table. We have one index and one record at the moment, which is the record I just inserted. If we go and take a look at that, you'll see we have a text column, which makes sense, and whether the item's complete or not. Let's go and change that. I'm going to complete that item. That's saved. I'm going to go back in here and refresh the data. And that will say true. So you can see your data. It's all just zero friction. But we're really keen to keep developers who love building client apps in Visual Studio in Visual Studio. And so they can do that using our dynamic schematization feature. They don't have to go off into the server doing a whole bunch of data modeling. Whenever they insert a new record, if the column on that on that object doesn't exist, we'll create it for them in SQL.
Really?
And so, and you can actually turn that off as well. So if you don't want that feature later, once you've deployed, you can turn off dynamic schematization right here.
Wow.
So just to prove that, why don't we start tinkering in Visual Studio a little bit? So I'm going to open up this app. And then when we do an insert, let's find the code that does an insert. Let me show you how easy it is. So we take the to-do table object here, and that was created just up here.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty straightforward, right? We call get table, say what the name of the table is, and then we can call insert. But what we're going to do here is just have a bit of fun and say to-do item dot. And let's put a new property on here. What would that property be, Debbie?
I don't know. What do you think?
Dot Nick assistant name equals Debbie. There we go.
Works.
So I'm going to save that now, and that's going to add a property to the, essentially the JSON object. And the next time I insert an object to my server backend, it's going to add a new column that we'll be able to see in that database. So testing, let's save that. There it comes. We can't see it here because I have not done anything to display it. But if I switch back to the browser, look at the data tab, we'll see now that we have two records. And there's a new column called Nick Assistant Name, and only one thing has it. So like, we're really about that zero impedance development. You know, we just want to get people going. And of course, you can turn this off if, when you go to production, you don't want people doing this willy-nilly, say. You know, you want to disable this. When you go to prod, you can turn off dynamic schematization. So that's the basics of the client. Let me show you some of the other bits of the code to show you how easy it is. You've seen how easy it is to insert. It's also very easy to query. So here I'm doing a query on the object. So I say to-do table.where. And there's two ways we support querying in mobile services. So in this case, with WinJS, we can kind of query by example. I provide an example object that says, find me anything that matches this object.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's going to get me all the records that are incomplete, which is what we want for our to-do list. And then I call read. And we continue to use the appropriate idiom for WinJS. So we have, in this case, a WinJS promise. So when it's done, it calls us back with the results, and then we just bind that up to our UI, and that's what we see happening there. And for update, it's simple as well. I simply call update, pass in the item I want to update, and that'll call us back when it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super, super simple.
Right, so this is all from JS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the client SDK is a WinMD file, right?
That's,
or assembly.
For JavaScript, it's actually a JavaScript file.
All right.
So we have a JavaScript file for Zumo, sorry, for mobile services, and that's what gets loaded in. But you can add this to any kind of project, actually. So we just use the extension SDK. So if you say add reference, then if you're in a JavaScript project, we'll show JavaScript client here.
Right.
If you're in a C# or a VB project, then you'll see manage client. And for C++, you'll see Windows Azure Mobile Services native client.
Right.
And so we support C++, WinJS, C#, VB.net. All of those get first class support in Mobile Services public preview.
So devs, you know, whatever language is their preference, they can get started today,
totally,
basically.
Yeah. And what we'll be looking to add, as you've already mentioned, is support for Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Maybe we could take a sneaky peek at some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows? But for iOS, for Android, and for Windows Phone, sorry.
When you say Windows Phone, do you mean 7 and 8?
Yes.
8?
No, so we'll be adding support for Windows Phone 7
uh-huh.
and for Windows Phone 8. Yeah,
great.
Yeah, for both, yeah.
Cool.
Cool. So should we take a look at scripts? Should we carry on taking a look at the portal and then get to scripts?
Yeah.
So we've not looked at my favorite feature of mobile services yet. We're all about making the server easy. But at the same time, we need to give people power to implement the solutions they need to do. So when we first started looking at the project, what we have at the moment is kind of a dumb data head, right? We have an easy way to do CRUD operations against a SQL database. But what if we need to implement security? What if we need to authorize access to records based on user identity? Then the way we could do that is by putting code into our client. But the problem with that is it's very easy to just run Fiddler and intercept traffic and start, you know, changing and jacking with what's going on over the wire, or even to find the zip package that is the application. If you're an administrator on the machine, unpack that, find out what's going on in the code and change the code.
Mm.
So really, you need to run security on the server, right? So we needed to give people a way of doing that, and our solution to that was scripts. So let's go and take a look at some of that stuff in the portal. So we have our app here, and you notice that we have this script tab on the data tab. So what we have here is we're looking at the to-do item table, and we can see all of the different operations I can perform against that. And then I can choose an operation, such as update, and I can specify some JavaScript here that runs on the server. So it's code that's running securely that can't be touched by any malicious developer that can intercept the call and then decide what to do with it. So it could reject calls, it could modify requests, it could send back different responses. Mm-hmm. So let's take an example, actually. Why don't we say that we're going to create an insert script that says if I get an item that has the text bad, for example, then we're going to reject it. We don't allow that. We forbid that kind of nonsense. So let me explain how this works.
Bad is a bad word.
Bad is a bad word. Very bad
word.
We
could check the assistant name property that we just added.
We could say if the assistant name is not Debbie,
Debbie said it to
then
Debbie.
we'll delete it. So we'll reject it. Let's look at this now. So we've got a function here called insert, and it takes three parameters. So the first parameter is item. That's the item that's about to be inserted into the database. The second is the user. Now, we make it very, very easy to do authentication, and we integrate the authentication with Windows Live for you in mobile services, and we're going to extend the identity providers over time. In this case, our app isn't using auth, so the user would probably just be an empty object. It wouldn't really contain any information. But if we were using auth, we as developers could trust the information inside that user object because mobile services has already done all the authentication work for us. So we remove that whole layer of complexity for people. And finally, the request object allows us to control the flow of what's going to happen. So you can see by default, all we do is we call request.execute, mm-hmm. which says, go ahead, insert the data, and send the response back to the user. Now we're going to short circuit that. We're going to put some code in here that says, if item.text equals bad. Actually, we should use three equals. It'd be good JavaScript folks. Then what we're going to do is we're going to say request.respond 403. You can't do that. So this is the HTTP status code we're going to send back to the client, and this is the error message. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to return that because we don't want to send send request to execute as well. That would end up inserting the data. So we're going to return out so we never get to that message. So if I send up an item that is bad, we expect it to be rejected. Now notice, I just press save. That change is now live in Azure.
Right.
So straight away, I should see this behavior come into effect. So let's find my app. Here it is. Let's run it. Just taking a moment to deploy. Okay, so there's my old data that we inserted. So let's insert a new one. Hello, everybody. Now that should work. Mm-hmm. But if I put text in that is bad, hit save, and that jumps into an error straight away, which we'd expect. And we can inspect it here. We haven't put any sort of formal error handling in the app ourselves. But if we take a look in here, we'll see that the error we got a forbidden, which mm-hmm. is the 403 status code. If we take a look at the request, we'll also see we got our message back, response text that says you can't do that, which we sent back from the service.
Cool.
So there's all kinds of things you can do with scripts like this, including sending push notifications, building in authorization. And to give you an example of what it looks like to really build out a whole app, with this we have a sample that you can download and set up and try, and it's fairly rich. And so Nick and I want to show you the sample. So the sample's here. I just need to log in.
Wait, the samples were different than the one you mentioned.
It was before. Could you hear that? the samples on the code gallery, and it's called Do2 Windows Azure Mobile Services Do2 sample.
Do2.
Yep. So you can download that. There's a bunch of instructions here. But let's take a look at the application. So I've already downloaded it. There's a couple of steps you have to follow. So when you download the zip, there's a setup document in there that tells you how to build out your mobile service backend, and it'll take you again, 5 minutes mm-hmm. to get this thing going. And it's a lot of fun once you've done it, and it's actually useful. So the reason I created this app, Do2, was to create the world's simplest to-do list application, because my wife's always giving me these little post-it notes, and I thought if we put this online, and then the next time she wants to buy some, what would you buy, Nick? What would be a good thing?
Liquor.
Some liquor. Nick has an obsession with my wife buying liquor. then I get a little push notification maybe, or a tile update, that so I know that my wife wants me to stop off at the liquor store on the way home from work. Sorry, Jill. Okay, so let's take a look at the app.
Which will be easier to do now that we have not just state-run liquor stores. We have a free market liquor store.
That's right. It's very Washington-related news. We can pretty much get that stuff from anywhere, right? makes it much easier on the way home from work for me. So here's the app. I've already configured this guy, so I've already set up a backender. And I'm going to run this right now. And what we'll see is the experience that we've created in the Do2 sample.
So you called it Do2 because somebody else already had to do?
Well, it just seemed like more fun. everyone asks that. Do2 is just, we just swapped the letters. I think that's pretty much, that's as inventive as it got. So the first thing that happens is it makes a call to mobile services and says, have we seen this guy before? And notice that it signed me in automatically. It signed me in using our integration with Windows Live. Mm-hmm. So it was zero-click sign-in. You can actually see up in the top right here, it's found, it's slightly grayed out, but it'll become clear in the moment. It's found my image from Windows Live and my name. And when I'm registering, it's saying, hey, we found your name and the city you live in Windows Live. You can customize these, though. And it's asking for lots of information because it wants to make it easy to share. That's the key thing about Dutu is it's a sharing to-do list. So I'm going to just finish the data and put in Washington, which is a great state because I can buy liquor anywhere now. And I'm going to complete that registration. And it says, hey, why don't you create a list? So I'm going to create my first list, which will be, let's see, what should I call my list, Nick?
Liquor list, I guess.
Liquor list.
I'll do.
And there we go. So there's our liquor list. And we're going to add a new item to that list. So beer. We'll keep it nice and simple. And there we go. You can see how easy it is to work with. In fact, Dutu is so simple, it doesn't even have a complete state. It's either on the list or it's off the list. And so we follow the Windows 8 idioms. I can select items and then bring up the app bar to delete them, etc. But the key thing...
Oh, put beer back on.
We want to put beer back on. Beer's going back on the list. Okay.
This is a happy show.
That's right, exactly. So the key thing is that we can invite other users. So if I go in here now, Nick's already registered, and I do a search for Nick, then we'll find... There's Mr. Harris and see his icon. So we're using mobile services for all of this back-end work. And there's a bunch of security in place here to make sure that I can only see lists I'm a member of. Mm-hmm. And that's all implemented in scripts. And we're also sending push notifications. So in a minute, what you'll see is Nick's going to send me, you might even hear it if Nick turns his volume up, actually. I'm going to send Nick an invite, and he'll get a toast notification. Yeah, it's pretty quiet, but it happened. Nick got a toast notification saying, hey, Josh wants you to come and join his liquor list. So Nick's gonna do that probably right now, I imagine. He's also, Nick's gonna create a list.
How about, do you want me to create a list?
Yeah, I want you to create a list called shopping.
Okay.
And then Nick's gonna send me an invite to this list. And if you watch the top right-hand corner of my screen, you'll see I'll get an invite via a push notification. And that push notification's coming from, it basically takes a line of code to send a push notification, and that's coming via WNS. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff would normally be thousands and thousands of lines of infrastructure code, gluing all the integration, the authorization over SQL, creating your data modeling in SQL, your ORM, and then to integrate with WNS to send that toast notification is a lot of code. And for us now, we've really reduced it down to almost nothing, so you can spend all of your time pretty much in Visual Studio building your client application. So I think the last cool thing to see is that now I'm a member of this list. Let's go and see my invites. There we are. So there's a list of shopping from Nick. Let's go and take a look at what Nick's got on the shopping list.
Okay, I got to put something on there.
He's putting something on the list now.
Nick was apparently expecting you were going to do his shopping for him after you went to the liquor store.
And after you looked at those in my fridge.
So there's Nick's shopping list. I just get an invite to. If I refresh that, now there you can see Nick wants beer.
All right.
So we can spot the theme here. So anyway, now the last thing I want to show you actually is we've been promising on a lot of on Twitter, we've been asked a lot about support for other platforms. So just to whet appetites, I thought it'd be pretty cool if we showed you an early version of our Windows Phone client. Okay. So what I'm going to show you is a couple of things. Let me just get it to refresh. And here we go. So if I hold this up to the camera, you'll see that there is the Dutu app running on the Windows Phone 7 device, which is pretty cool. But also, what I want to do is bring up my start screen. And here you can see the Dutu list. And notice that it has a tile, a live tile. So what I'm actually going to do is enter a new item here. This is logged in as Nick, by the way. So this is Nick's Windows phone.
That's Nick's phone?
That's Nick's phone.
It is now
Nick's phone. And so we're logged in as Nick. And what we're going to do is right here is enter in a new item. What would you like me to put in, Nick?
I don't know.
Whiskey or something.
Something stronger.
There you go.
So we're going to enter whiskey, and then if we switch back to the screen here, the minute I save this on the phone, you should see that we get a live tile there. And that's come from Windows Phone to my Windows 8 device. Super quick, super easy, and it took minutes to build the back end. Probably hours, rather than weeks to build out the back end for an application like Dutu.
That is excellent.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So that's mobile services. So hopefully everyone who's watching is going to sign up for a free trial and check out the Mobile Developer Center at aka.ms/mobile-services. And I look forward to hearing their feedback.
I got to tell you, there's some amazing stuff going on in the Azure world.
That's cool to hear. That's the
reaction
we're looking for.
2 years ago, it was out. It was hard to get started. It was very powerful, but there was this bar to entry that you kind of had to meet. And you guys have just done an amazing job reducing that. It is so flipping easy these days. It's awesome.
Great.
So you mentioned there's a free trial. What do people actually get for the free trial? Like how many free websites, mobile services, for instance?
So you get 10 free mobile services. And also you'll get a SQL database that you can use as well for the duration of the free trial. It makes it, you know, you can just hook up to that SQL database for your mobile services.
Cool.
Ten
free apps. Easy.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having us.
You guys should download this. You should try it. If you haven't jumped on the Azure bandwagon yet, no better time. This stuff's really cool. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thank you.
See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.